Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
A couple of clarifications.
Okay.
First of all, I don't even know that when it's been a blur, but this is one thing about the Iran attacks on Israel. Mm-hmm. You know they checked in with the U.S. first?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the Biden administration greenlit them because they wanted something that was limited. Mm-hmm. So in other words, no attacks from Hezbollah, no rockets from Hezbollah. So all the stuff came from the home country.
Okay, so that explains why we don't want Israel to retaliate, because we told them it was okay
to do
that.
That's exactly right. It's amazing. It's amazing. We freaking greenlit this thing. So we knew, our pals, the Israelis, we have such a hard-on for Iran. It's so ridiculous. This administration is like, guys, she's not going to sleep with you. Stop it. This administration so deferential to Iran. It's amazing. These mullahs are dirtbag freaking savages. What are you doing?
Yeah. The people in their own country don't even like them.
No.
I don't know why we need to be on their team when, like, the Iranian people don't even like the mullahs.
So. No. And by the way, another thing we found out is that the Saudis helped the Israelites. They're calling them the Israelites.
Israelis.
Anyway, the Israelis.
Yes.
The Saudis helped them out, too, which is kind of a historic thing, considering how far we've gotten now. Mm-hmm. But they're always happy to stick it to Iran, too.
Well, and Jordan helped Israel also.
So it was kind of a group effort, which was good. But the green lighting thing is just amazing.
Yeah.
And now we're telling them not to do anything. The Iranians are threatening Israel that they'll get it and deal with a huge attack if they retaliate. I think Israel should retaliate with a force. Absolutely blast out Tehran, hit targets in Tehran, and go to all the nuclear facilities, all the pieces of that. This is a piece in the Jerusalem Post, Alice. This is a good read. Reads well. How the Israeli Air Force could bring Iran to its knees. What if Israel decides to strike back? What if it decides to take this opportunity to finally bomb Iran's prized nuclear weapons program? Iran took its best shot, or a very significant one, at Israel with over 100 ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, and over 100 drones, totaling over 300 forms of aerial attack from many different sides and vectors. What if Israel finally decides to strike back? What if it decides to take this opportunity to finally bomb Iran's prized nuclear weapons program? Such a scenario has been gamed out for years, but here's a version of what it could look like. Several quartets of F-35 stealth combat jets... I like the use of quartets, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Several quartets of F-35 stealth combat jets could fly by separate routes to hit sites across the massive Islamic Republic, some as far as 1,200 miles from the Jewish state. Some of the aircraft might fly along the border between Syria and Turkey, despite those countries' opposition, and then race across Iraq, who would also oppose. Other aircraft might fly through Saudi airspace, unclear if this would be with a quiet agreement or opposition, and the Persian Gulf. The main aim would be to eliminate Iran's air defense. They might arrive simultaneously or in waves, as Iran did overnight between Saturday and Sunday, to first eliminate the Ayatollah's air defenses at dozens of Iranian nuclear sites, carefully handpicked by the Mossad and IDF intelligence. Their job would be to eliminate Iran's Sirius air defense shield, a much more sophisticated defense system than anything Lebanon, Syria, or Hamas possesses. Regardless of whether the F-35s came in unison or in waves, there would almost certainly be a separate wave for Israel's F-15 Eagles, F-16 Fighting Falcons, and heavily loaded F-35s carrying 5,000-pound American GBU-72 bombs. 2,000-pound and smaller bombs might also be used for a variety of targets. There might even be an additional waves after that to assist in penetrating deep into the ground to destroy Iran's top nuclear facilities at Fordow and Natanz. The IDF could also potentially use a significant number of its own surface-to-surface ballistic missiles, as well as intelligence collecting and attacking drones. Fordow's main chamber is buried some 80 meters underground, a depth that only the 30,000-pound bunker buster bombs in the American arsenal could immediately destroy. But even under the Trump administration, the U.S. has always refused to provide Israel with such bunker busters. That said, one does not need to entirely eliminate a facility to render it useless. A repeated series of strikes could block Tehran's access to electric power, bury its entrances and exits, and cut it off from the world. Such an operation might not be free. Iran might succeed at shooting down aircraft. Some aircraft might fail to make the return flight due to the fuel systems. Fuel issues, even if there's some complex mid-air fueling capability or midway landing spot as part of the plan. On the positive side, despite the massive number of aerial attacks by the IDF in Lebanon, Syria, and Gaza, which reportedly also included F-15 and F-16 fighter aircraft at times, Israel only lost one F-16 in early 2018 and has never lost an F-35. Special forces or Mossad agents in Iran to assist close up could be lost one way or another. There are also additional facilities that Israel might strike, such as the heavy water reactor at Erek, the uranium conversion plant near Isfahan, research reactors at Banab, Ramsar, and Tehran, and other facilities where Iran has moved forward on weaponization issues, though these facilities might be a lower priority as they are earlier points in the nuclear weapons cycle.
Okay. So Morgan raises a good point in the chat that I want to bring up before you go further, too, because his feeling is, you know, the Biden administration is saying we greenlit Iran. Like, why should we be involved in punishing them for something that we said was okay? Mm-hmm. And, like, why would we want to get dragged into a bigger war here? Like, that Israel's obviously trying to get us to do. And, you know, why should we be involved with this? We told Iran it was okay. Let's not get sucked in, basically.
Well, I mean, that's our horse's ass diplomacy. Why would we do this? Why would we can't dictate. I mean, that's us acting as a moderator for Israel on their behalf when they've just been attacked. The homeland has been attacked by a nation state. We can't tell them what to do. What is it, Biden going to withhold funding? They have like $1 million or the $12, $20 billion funding. I mean, good luck to that. They try that stuff. The Iranians, for frig's sake, if you go to our world atlas in Vermont, the one that me and my brother had in the late 70s,
mm-hmm.
there's a huge hole where Iran was because even in the early 80s, that was where you'd nuke. Because they were mean jerks, the clerics and the radicals who took over and took American hostages, etc. And I don't like this. I don't understand. I've been having like little fights online today with Twitter, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Iran was responding because their
diplomats were attacked.
Their diplomatic facility was attacked. It's like, who cares? What's this moral equivalent if they're responding? I don't care if they respond. They're dirtbags.
Right, biggest state sponsor of terror, all that.
Yeah, stuff. And also, you know, just neither here nor there, but I don't remember 1979, the Iranian revolutionaries giving a whole lot of respect to the sanctity of the American embassy in Tehran. You know, it seems to me they walked right in and guyped some people for about a year. This is like there's no, like, what do you expect Iran to do? To just be, I don't care. They don't get us, they don't get to, this is why Israel needs to strike immediately and harshly. They've already seen a lot of the Iranian Air Force stuff does not work.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good thing. So go chop them off at the knees. Do whatever you need to do to destabilize that country. Obviously, if they do it, it's going to, for some people, bring in a wave of patriotism, but not everybody. Like we've seen, you know, these revolutions that, you know, that Barack Obama was happy to cheerlead for but not participate in, these revolutions do happen. As of mid-2023, it was also revealed that the IDF intelligence formed a new unit of dozens of officers with one goal, to collect and assess intelligence to develop a massive target bank for hitting Iran far beyond just its nuclear program. The targets were to include key power sources for the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps in order to bring them to their knees, much the same way IDF intelligence had collected intelligence for years on an enormous number of Hamas and Hezbollah targets. Israel might not undertake a huge attack on Iran's nuclear facilities. If it does, it might not open up the larger target bank of IRGC targets. Maintaining U.S. and allied support is a crucial value. On the other hand, the main reason not to attack Iran for years has been the blowback that Jerusalem could receive from Hezbollah, Hamas, and the dozens of drones and ballistic missiles. Being that most of the worst-case scenarios have already transpired, and even worse, including Yemen, who was not viewed as for sure taking part in a theoretical larger war as they have. In fact, in the current very real war, there would seem to be a lot less of a reason to hold back at this moment than at any time in decades. Absolutely all for it. All for it. These guys have been killing Americans. They killed American troops on the ground during the Iraq war. The regime is a dirtbag regime, and the more death and pain that can come to it, the better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not pro-Iran. I don't have any love lost there. What I don't understand is the people who, the day after Iran attacks Israel with all these hundreds of missiles and drones and whatever, like everything they've got here, literally the day after they launch a huge attack on Israel, a bunch of people in the U.S. decided to go out and protest Israel that day.
Yes.
Which just like shows you where they are mentally. Like somebody attacks Israel and they go out and protest against Israel.
Yeah, today shutting down the Golden Gate, shutting down another
bridge. Golden Gate Bridge, the routes into the Chicago airport were blocked. Which, like, if you block the roads in and out of an airport.
People were walking.
Yeah, walking out of Uber to try and get there.
As far as I'm concerned,
flights.
As far as I'm concerned, I will not lose an iota of sleep if you just hit the gas. Train kept a rolling all night long, baby. Right,
well,
through those punks.
In Florida, they only had to arrest a few people who got in the roads, and then they moved their protest onto the sidewalk because they have laws in Florida about blocking the streets.
Get the cops out there. Get water cannons out there. Get the hounds out there. I want the hounds out there. I want the people on horseback. I want big sticks, billy clubs. I want heads a-cracking, baby. Absolutely. Let's get those beanbag guns, rubber bullets, everything. They're going to cry like little bitches at Vanderbilt anyway. Let's roust them with force. Make it painful. I especially like the idea of big old police horses. Oof, that's a good look. And whips, too. Let's whip them.
Strap them.
Yeah. No, I want to really whip them. I want Indiana Jones whips. Total violence on these punks. Hate them. The disregard. We get to stop the traffic, man, because you don't see the killing intent. If I had a son who was sick and needed treatment or something, sayonara, dude. The amount of joy I'd get from seeing bodies go over the roof. Oh, my God. I'd have to get a sunroof just for that, for the aerial view.
What did you say the other day? Oh, we were on Sturrow Drive and getting ready to merge onto Sturrow Drive. And you said that you wished you were in a tank so you could be manning the turret at everybody who's in your way.
Yeah, trail of destruction. There would be ruins of cars, smoking ruins of cars every 5 feet. Oh, that was, I'm not ready. I'm not made for Boston primetime travel anymore. That's no bueno. Anything else on Iran, Allison?
That's all I've got on Iran. That's all I've got. I didn't get a chance to watch any of this yet, but how was the press briefing today? I can see that they did not leave KJP out there on her own to handle.
I think Kirby essentially said all the same stuff that he said last night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let me see. There's a good doozy back and forth with him. This is not the time for her to be on. By the way, Trump was in court too today. We should talk about this at some point. Oh, we got to play this other chick who's psycho, or else I almost love her, but she's not. But not. Here's Ducey and Kirby.
John, has President Biden considered maybe beefing up the public Iran posture to be more than just one word?
You're referring to don't.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about.
And they did it anyway.
And let's talk about what we did, Peter. Let's talk about don't and did. Let's talk about Saturday night. He made it clear that he didn't want to see escalation in the region.
And
let me finish. He added military
reasons. I'm sorry. I like watching Kirby because he's good at this.
Yeah.
He's good at this. He's got a tough job, no doubt, and he's a military and foreign policy guy, and he's dealing with one of the worst foreign policy presidents that we've ever had, so it's a tough job for him, but he's so skilled. He's more skilled at his job than anybody else in that building is.
Yeah.
Resources to the region right after October 7th. And then when we had an inkling that this kind of thing was coming, he added even more military resources to the region. More destroyers that were capable of shooting down ballistic missiles, a fighter squadron that was able to shoot down drones.
He also said don't, and they did.
Yeah. So when he's like, oh, well, he's been very clear he doesn't want escalation. I think that's escalation.
Yes. Yeah.
Even if we shot down the stuff.
They directly attacked the nation.
But they obviously don't care what Biden says at all.
No.
And that's what we did. So you can talk about the don't word all you want, but let's talk about what did happen. And what did happen was Iran utterly failed. And if I'm sitting in Tehran right now, I'm betting that President Biden takes it pretty seriously when he says don't escalate. He's going to act to make sure that you can't. And they didn't.
Well, the point is that Ducey's asking him, why won't the president elucidate that? What's the next thing?
Yeah, so like according to Kirby, if somebody shoots you but you're wearing a Kevlar vest, then it doesn't count as them really shooting you.
Well, no, but he's saying now, you see, the president backed up his words. Don't. Well, what's the backup?
The backup, he's saying.
All he did is thwart an attack.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is it's like the Biden administration's position essentially is if your attack didn't work, then it doesn't count as you having escalated. Like, so if I put on a Kevlar vest and you shoot me, and so now I'm like just bruised and not really dead, then like you didn't shoot me. It's okay. It doesn't count.
That's don't.
Don't shoot me. Okay, fine. You shot me, but at least I was wearing a bulletproof vest. So now really don't shoot me, okay?
Yes, they fired an unprecedented amount of munitions. But how much of a success did they have, Peter? None. Zero. Very little infrastructure. It was an embarrassing failure for the Supreme Leader and for the IRGC.
That's great. That is great.
John, has President Biden...
Here's more.
Now that we know that the Iranians do not listen to President Biden's public warnings, is there any regret here about unfreezing billions of dollars for Iranian leaders during the president's administration?
What unfreezing are you talking about?
He unfroze billions of dollars
for Iranian leaders?
Yeah.
Really? I don't think so.
Okay,
so first of all,
it's for humanitarian purposes, but doesn't that...
But you don't believe me.
Well, doesn't that free up money for them to spend on other stuff? Where do you get the money for an unprecedented number of munitions to fire at Israel?
So first of all, I'm betting if they're sitting in Tehran, they're taking it seriously when President Biden says he's going to defend Israel.
This is tough because he doesn't have the ability right now to do anything more in an expansive explanation than KJP gets. He might as well be the only thing he's not doing is reading it.
Right.
But it's pretty generic stuff.
Put skin in the game, a whole heck of a lot of it, and knocked almost everything out of the sky. So I'm betting they're taking it pretty seriously. And as for this this unfreezing, none of that fund, none of those funds, funds set up in an account, by the way, by the previous administration, goes directly to the supreme leader, the IRGC, can only be used for humanitarian purposes.
Pathetic.
And we're watching that account very, very closely to make sure that that's what happens.
Is the fungible thing.
Fungible.
And you guys often defend all the trips to Delaware by saying the president is not on vacation. He's working. He can be the president from anywhere. So why do you have to come back on Saturday?
Well, we got indications shortly after arriving. We got better, firmer intelligence and information about the specific timing of what we expected to be this Iranian attack. And the president didn't bat an eye before getting back on that helicopter and coming back. And he was here all Saturday night in the Situation Room from mid-afternoon till late at night getting real-time updates from General Kirilla and from his defense team all throughout the night, including calling Prime Minister Netanyahu right from the Situation Room. And as Karine mentioned, on Sunday, he was right back at it again, working the G7, calling King Abdullah. I don't know what else to tell you. He had a very busy full weekend.
So that's where we are about the... at the moment.
Yeah, but I mean, this whole situation with Biden, I mean, I don't think this latest stuff, I don't think is really going to be reflected in the polling numbers yet. But this is, this foreign policy issue is a domestic political disaster for Biden. And, you know, I think I had sent us the stuff. Did you see this stuff about the Biden administration has been asking Zelensky not to hit Russian oil refineries to keep gas prices down?
No.
This is from John Hudson at The Washington Post. He's reporting as of last night that when Kamala Harris met privately with Zelensky in February, she told him that they shouldn't attack Russian oil refineries, a tactic the U.S. officials believed would raise global energy prices and invite more Russian retaliation inside Ukraine. The request irritated Zelensky and his aides, who view Kiev's string of drone strikes on Russian energy facilities as a bright spot in the grinding war of attrition. Zelensky brushed off the recommendation, but in subsequent weeks, Washington reinforced the warning in multiple conversations with Kiev, including Jake Sullivan, who traveled to Ukraine's capital.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
In March. Instead of acquiescing to the U.S. request, Ukraine doubled down on the strategy, striking a range of Russian facilities, including an April 2 attack on Russia's third largest refinery, 800 miles from the front. The incidents have exacerbated tensions in an already strained relationship and come as Biden ramps up his reelection campaign amid a six-month high in oil prices. Defenders of Ukraine's strategy accuse the White House of prioritizing domestic policy over Kiev's military goals. The U.S. officials say the rationale behind their warnings is more nuanced than critics suggest, noting that Moscow's counterattack has hurt Ukraine more than the refinery attacks hurt Russia. So the Biden administration is basing their foreign policy now on what they think will keep gas prices down to get Biden reelected. And Zelensky's not pleased, obviously.
Oh, yeah. But it is so cynical. Oh, God, this Biden sucks. I'm not a Zelensky guy either. Biden's an
idiot. Well, sorry, Zelensky. Like, but that's the way American politics is that when you're not the flavor of the week anymore, that you just get brushed aside and nobody cares about your goals or Ukraine, because that's not the current thing anymore, is being into Ukraine. So, you know, sucks to be you, but you're not the guy anymore for the Biden administration. They're busy with other stuff and they would like you to help them keep American gas prices down.
That's great. It's great. Donald Trump today spoke before and after his court appearance. I believe there was supposed to be a gag order on this guy. He does not acknowledge it.
So thank you very much. We had some amazing things happen today. As you know, my son is graduating from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go to the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student.
It's funny. Trump is smirking here, talking about the judge who won't let him see his son's graduation, which, of course, is just another punitive way to punish Trump.
Yeah.
But Trump is, like, he's got a half a smile on right now. He is so in on the joke here.
He did so well, and was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. And it looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial. If you read all of the legal pundits, all of the legal scholars today, there's not one that I see that said this is a case that should be brought or tried. It's a scam. It's a political witch hunt. It continues, and it continues forever.
This guy has cojones, man. That's remarkable.
Yeah.
He has so little respect for this judge, mm-hmm. for the system, and he should.
Yeah, and this case in particular is one of the weakest of the many cases against him. This is, like we talked about, the hush money case, which the hush money itself is not illegal. They're trying to put this election fraud thing into a... You know, they're trying to turn it into election fraud, that they paid Michael Cohen to give money to Stormy Daniels, and they have twisted a bunch of stuff that's not felonies into being felonies so they can try and, you know, do something bigger than it is. This is a novel legal theory and a stretch, this whole case.
A scam, as a matter of fact.
A scam, one could say. So that whole... That New York case, that's a garbage one. I mean, like we've talked about, probably the strongest case out of all of them is probably the documents case. Mm-hmm. And it's weakened politically, at any rate, by the fact that Biden has done the exact same thing. So it doesn't necessarily help you election-wise. But, I mean, the poll numbers reflect this stuff. There have been new swing state polls. Echelon Insights has a bunch of them out this week, new swing state polls that show Trump up in like every swing state. He's still, even Wisconsin is the closest, he's still even hanging on to a bit of a lead there, but up in Georgia, up in Arizona, up in Pennsylvania, up in Florida, up in Michigan. These numbers, like, something's got to give for Biden. I still think the race is going to tighten up and get closer. I especially think that polls that show Kennedy with a big percent are going to get closer. If they're including Kennedy, just because third party votes tend to wane as you get closer to the election, people get more of a sense of urgency about needing to vote for one of the two major parties. So as you tend to get closer, the third party vote tends to kind of dry up a little bit.
The thing that's tough with this administration is that he does everything wrong.
Yeah, everything.
They do precisely all the wrong things.
Exactly.
Like coddling Iran. It's like, why? You don't have to do that. You never have to be nice to the Iran regimes. No, but we want to rein them in. But
you know Trump would be talking. Actors? Trump would be talking all kinds of smack about them on Twitter right now.
Yes. Like, you don't have to do the, it's the gas prices stuff. There's more production now than there was a bit ago, but still, I mean, you've put a gun to the head and, you know, crippled the energy sector for the first 2 years of the administration. The freaking student loan forgiveness?
Oh, that's a bad one.
F you!
That's a bad one.
What is this that you're exactly... Those kids still hate you because they hate Israel. It's so freaking... This guy should be in freaking jail. He sucks. He sucks. All the divisiveness. I understand that some people are like... And we know people, and I'm related to some people who are like, oh, you know what? The economy's looking pretty good. Nice to have wisdom and stability back in the White House. No, it's not. The guy sucks at this. Everything he does is terrible. Does it happen, the wokeification of all of the military? Mm-hmm. I just talked to a guy today on the air whose friend just retired and went to the private sector because of the woke crap. It's like all the wokeification stuff is totally
toxic.
Yeah,
people message us from time to time, too, and say whenever we talk about the woke military stuff, they just say morale in the military is in the toilet right now.
Did you do anything about the have you seen anything about the Riddhi Patel, the plain Bakersfield City Council
yes
meeting?
Yes.
If she were attractive, I would way be
into her. She kind of used to be before she got woke. Did you see her earlier pictures of like when she ran track and stuff?
Oh, no.
I need the community members behind me to understand is that these electeds don't really care about you. The only thing you're going to do, even if you vote them out of office, Manpreet sold her soul after leaving Jakara Movement as their development director, now working for Wonderful Company, as farm workers are unionizing with Wonderful, and they still won't let them unionize. So she sold her goddamn soul. So regardless of whether you elect people into office, they'll backstab you, they'll let you die, and for that reason, you guys want to criminalize us with metal detectors. We'll see you at your house. We'll murder you.
Here.
So, please introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is Martin. Yeah. I'm a resident here in Bakersfield.
So, yeah. So, free speech is very expansive in the United States, more so than in any other country in the world. You can say more under free speech than almost anywhere else on planet Earth. But one of the very few things you're not allowed to do is threaten to murder people. That's one of one of a small number of things that are not covered by free speech.
Regardless.
So now she's in trouble.
Yeah, and she's apparently broken down and she's all
like crying and asking for forgiveness for this one. But yeah, this is they don't know, though, these young people who get involved, they don't understand that it's not make pretend, that you can't go around threatening to murder people out in real life. They don't realize that it's like for keeps when you go out there and you go to public meetings and you say you're going to murder your officials.
Alison, your take on this young lady, kind of attractive young lady.
I am nearly 27 years old and today I am moving back in with my parents. This is not the plan I had for 27-year-old me, but that is just how bad the rental crisis is at the moment. I've been living on my own for the last 3 years. When I first started living on my own, I was paying $280 a week in rent. It was actually kind of fine to pay rent on my own, and I've never had like an outstanding salary. The reason why I'm moving back in with my parents is because my landlord wanted to increase my rent now to $450 a week. Now, I live in a small one-bedroom apartment in an old building. It's nothing flash. Sure, I live in a good suburb. I live in Malvern. I'm probably just paying for location. But I have to pay to do my laundry. There's cracks in the walls. Like, it's nothing flashy. Like, it's not worth $450 a week. That's like $2,000 a month. What are people supposed to do? I'm so lucky and I'm so grateful that I can move back in with my parents.
Just get a roommate or something. Or
yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing is like, I don't think ever when I was single, I ever could afford a one-bedroom apartment on my own. Yeah. I always had roommates or rented from a family member or whatever. Like, I never, I mean, and most young people don't.
No, yeah.
I mean, being married is convenient because it's essentially financially like having a roommate, only generally like even more. There's even more economies of scale to being married than there are just having a roommate, like because you're sharing food and resources. You're pooling your resources and you're probably getting somewhat of a tax break, especially if you have kids. But I mean, it's the unusual 27-year-old, I think, who can afford a one-person apartment for themselves on their one salary without roommates or anything.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know. You know,
when you were 27, did you have roommates?
27. Well, I found an unbelievable deal in Beacon Hill that was a like 1.5 bedroom that was under $1,000. So, I couldn't afford it, but so I was always late with the rent. But it was an unbelievable apartment. But
the one that you were in when I met you?
No, that wasn't Beacon Hill. That was,
When I
met you, that one was $1,100, I think. That was still a good deal.
Yeah.
I worked hard to find good deals.
And you were also 37 at that point, not 27.
No, when I was in my 20s, my brother and I lived together. We also had ridiculously good deals. And we split the rent. Well, he paid more, actually. That's what you do, is you get a roommate. Or there are, like, not for women, really, but there are, like, flop houses where my friends have lived.
Or you do live with your parents.
Or I lived in a closet in Beacon Hill.
Or you do live with your parents. Like, there's nothing wrong with saving money. Especially for a girl, I think.
Yeah, for a girl, it's fine. As a guy, I was like, that was like going back into the penitentiary. There was no way I was going to.
Well, then work harder. I don't know.
I managed to
you know what I mean?
But also, it's like, so you just have to understand that living in Beacon Hill in the 90s was fantastic. But it was very expensive, and so I had no money left after that. And so,
yeah, that's what you did with your money.
Right, that's what I did with my money, is walk outside in cobblestones. And that was, like, worth it. It was, like a happiness factor. But that's what it is. This girl's drinking, like, a Starbucks coffee. I'm sure she goes to, like, the Australian Panera, unless they have Panera, whatever it is. Like, young people, there's some things that they have and do that are, like, very expensive. I've never gotten it.
Mm-hmm.
But they factor it into, like, their living.
There was that video that was going around a little while ago about what people's car payments are, and I was absolutely blown the heck away. Yeah. I mean, these were, like, $500 to $1,000 car payments, and some of them were a couple thousand dollars, which I, like, couldn't believe. You're paying a mortgage to...
To have a cute Jeep.
To have a cool car? Like, I just cannot... understand it at all. Like, I don't get it. But I mean, yeah, the lifestyle that young people are expecting to have, like, in their 20s on the salaries that they have is just unrealistic. And they're thinking, like, that, and people's memories are dim of what life was like in the 70s and 80s and even the 90s, right? Like, I get the sense that, you know, because people will talk about, like, oh, the average price for a home used to be XYZ in the 80s and da 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 da. And homes are expensive. They've risen faster than inflation. That's absolutely true. But also, homes were much, much, much more modest in the 80s.
Yes.
Think about what your, like, new construction fancy home that you lived in the late 70s, early 80s was like compared to what new construction houses are now.
Yeah, I know.
The amenities, the size, the, like, just the appliances, like, the scale of the kitchens is crazy. I don't know. I mean, like, when we were in Melrose, people used to talk all the time about, like, oh, well, you know, we redid our kitchen 10 years ago, but I really feel like the styles have changed. It's time to really update it again. And I look around at our kitchen with, like, linoleum that had been updated in the 70s and be like, where did I go wrong in my life? Like,
yes, well, you're looking at them, as a matter of fact. Alice, what is the hot sauce?
We still didn't talk about Thomas Jefferson. It's Patriots Day. Oh. We must address our Patriots Day discovery that we made yesterday. We meant to talk about this yesterday, but we were incidentally, for no reason whatsoever, talking about, I don't know, Peter's going to let me talk about Thomas Jefferson. What's your problem with Jefferson? We were talking about the etymology of the word mammoth.
And as in woolly.
As in woolly mammoth. Or the other type of mammoth, which, as it turns out, derives from the animal, not the other way around. Which is derives from a Russian word. And Peter just closed the window for me that I had open. It derives from a Russian word, probably from a Uralic language such as Proto-Mansi, meaning earth horn. It could even be influenced by the word behemoth.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the, like, early 1800s or so.
Sorry, dude, you're getting brutalized.
I don't.
All right, why don't you just do the chat?
I guess we can just do the chat.
Sorry, we'll get back to woolly mammoth.
This is important information about Thomas Jefferson that we discovered yesterday.
Yes, he's not going anywhere. This topic is not going anywhere. Poor Albie. Do you want to give it a shot? No, let's not. Let's not. Okay. It is the Chelsea Fire Wicked Hot Shot, Wicked Hot Sauce. That's what that is. It's back, by the way. Thankfully, it is working wonderfully. Wonderfully.
Let me want to turn my mic off.
If it truly is the end with this possible World War III fallout,
yep.
I couldn't think of a more perfect song.
It's the end. Rapid Eye Movement, Alice. Michael Stipe. Peter Buck. I don't remember the other guys. Mike something. Familiar with the song, right?
Ah.
Donald Trump, he just said. Justin, you couldn't get it any further from a chorus.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Good song. This is a song so the humanities kids in Winchester High could memorize all of the many words and references in there and feel smart. Here we go, Alice. He's back.
Hi, Steve from Merrimack.
Hey, Steve.
Well, I guess SpeakPipe is back and working better than ever.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you, I don't know what you're paying for this service, but whatever it is, it's too much. I think they ought to change the corporate name to Speak Pipe Artists.
Oh! Ooh.
Oh! Thank you.
What are we paying? What's the monthly charge on SpeakPipe?
$10, I think.
A month?
Yeah.
Not that kind of money. Pass the costs on to the consumer, Alex.
Start charging for the messages.
Yes. All right, Dr. Cheswick, here we go, Alice.
Maybe.
I heard one reason why we have more ticks this year, or they're out earlier
this
year, is because we did not have a very long cold spell this winter with deep freeze temperatures to kill off, you know, some of the mice, field mice, et cetera, that carry.
It said climate change.
You know, ticks and deer ticks, et cetera. That was one of the things I had heard. And because we just had a very wet and not super cold winter this year. If it had been super, super cold this year, people would have paid more attention, much more attention to their home heating oil bills. And I think it would just help push some more people over towards Trump.
I think you're right.
In the coming election.
I think you're right. But here's the thing, is that like there just weren't any ticks in 1984. So something's up, and I don't like that.
I don't know if you noticed this, Tom or Alice, but every time you get on Twitter, or as the kids call it, X, or the hipsters call it, 10, that every time you try to like read like comments in a post or something, you don't get stuff that's like associated with said post. It's always like ads that pop up, like for Liver King or OF Girls. It's like, you know, see my babes? I'm like, I just want to figure out what is involved with this story that I was looking at.
OF,
I want to see your boobs, ho.
Whoa, OF is OnlyFans, Alice. Did you know that?
I've heard of that. Yes.
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact. All right.
Hi, Steve from Maryland.
Hey, Steve.
One more thing regarding the whole speak pipe issue.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll rest my head very easy tonight, knowing that Vladimir from Speak Pipe fixed the problem. Vladimir? Like, are we sure this wasn't a ransomware attack? I'm sure SpeakPipe is just his part-time gig. I'm sure full-time he's running the WannaCry ransomware group out of the Ukraine. Ay, ay, ay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, everybody. Peter is not pleased. Do you want to do the outro today?
Sure. That's a lot of pressure. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Become Patreon members. We certainly appreciate it. Help us defray the cost of SpeakPipe, which is a Cadillac of messaging services. Listen to the All You Can Eat podcast and the Leeches podcast if you'd like to as well. We'll see you later.
C'est la vie.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.